Welcome to the February 8th, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast.
Drupalize Me.
Hi there. I am Addison Berry, and today I have with me
Jeff Eaton.
And we are in Sydney, Australia.
Sunny Sydney, Australia.
Sunny and warm. Us coming from cold regions at this time of year are quite pleased to be here.
At home, I've just received word that it is freezing rain in the Chicago area. So the beaches of Sydney are warm and welcoming for this DrupalCon.
Indeed. We are also speaking to you from the future.
It's I believe, Friday for us, but most of our listeners will actually be in Thursday right now, so.
But Friday's you'll hear it in your Friday, but by that point, it'll probably be our Saturday.
We're a little jet lagged, so this is a really fascinating concept that we've had a couple of conversations about. Yeah.
And trying to communicate back home is an interesting experience. You're not doing anything tomorrow, but wait, no, I am tomorrow. Not your tomorrow, my tomorrow. It's a different day.
I was actually completely okay. I landed, you know, got adjusted, had breakfast. And the problem was when I got internet access and I logged on and all of my Google Calendar alerts were for like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And I was just like, okay, yeah, my brain just broke.
I'm out.
I'm discombobulated now. But we've been adjusting and all of the locals tell us, ha-ha, this is what it feels like when we go to North American DrupalCon. So I guess we're getting our comeuppance.
I guess so. And you know, I have to say, it's a nice comeuppance. I'm fine with
if that's the payback, then I'll take it gladly.
Indeed, yeah. Yes. And so Sydney, lovely city. We're in Coogee Bay, which is just outside of Sydney. Like, we are at DrupalCon Sydney. It's literally across the street from the beach.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it comes through on this recording, but there's the faint sound of ocean. I don't think I've ever recorded a podcast in which the faint sound of ocean could be heard. So it's great. But and the team for this DrupalCon has just done an amazing job. It's really good. And well, knock on wood. Just this afternoon, Wi-Fi went down, but that's kind of a conference tradition, you know,
exactly.
No matter what.
That's conference stuff. But yeah, this has been a really great conference. Before we dig too much into talking about the conference, we kind of want to give everybody an update since we're sort of in the midst of it now. But I'm going to run through a couple of quick announcements. One is that Lullabot is hiring a sales representative for the education department. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, please go ahead and give us an application. You can find all the jobs that we have available right now at lullabot.com/jobs.
Makes sense.
It's, you know, we're trying to keep it simple and straightforward. We could get crazy, but we don't. And then a couple of like just sort of general like newsy things out there. I always like to promote other podcasts that are going on in the Drupal world. And recently there was a new podcast that came out from drop.coop. We'll put a link to that in the podcast notes. It's actually a video podcast, so there's a video and audio version of that. You can check that out. And then other big news is that Holly Ross officially started as the Drupal Association's executive director. And I believe today is day 6 of her new job. And so congrats to Holly for, you know, with starting and she's here in Sydney with us. And I have to say, I've talked to her a couple of times and she's really cool. And she is definitely interested in talking to as many people in the community as she can. So I would just say, if you have thoughts about the community, ideas or needs that you have, she is willing and open to talking to people. And she's just really fun to hang out with. Had a really good time hanging out with her.
It's a great combination.
It is. It is. Events that are going on. So obviously this weekend there's this little event that we call DrupalCon, which is happening right now in Sydney. But also this weekend, if you don't happen to be in Australia, there is the Sunshine PHP Conference is happening in Miami this weekend, and it actually has an entire symphony track. So if you're interested in sort of the symphony work that's going on that impacts Drupal, you might want to go check that out. And then in February, we have a whole slew of things. Like, everybody took some time off for the holidays, and now they're coming back strong. So Drupal Camp Manila in the Philippines. There's a Drupal Day in Mexico City, Mexico. There are a couple of sprints that are going to be going on in March, but there's a feature freeze sprint that's happening in Oak Park, Illinois, because feature freeze is coming up February 18th.
The weather is warm, but the freeze is coming.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, it's not really warm in Oak Park, Illinois.
Yeah, actually, it's really cold
it's
there.
Quite so, cold. So I it's guess kind
it's,
of freezing.
It's very appropriate there.
Yes,
so.
I think that's going to work. Let's see, we also have Drupal Camp Bolivia in, oh my goodness, Cochabamba. That's a cool name.
I approve.
Cochabamba, Bolivia. And actually, one of the Lullabots is going to be there. Wumpy is...
oh, awesome!
Yeah, he's heading over there. I think he might be heading over there this week. But anyway, so you can meet Wumpy if you're going to the Drupal Camp in Bolivia. Drupal Camp Ottawa in Ontario, Canada. New Hampshire Drupal Summit, Concord, New Hampshire. And then we have a couple of not Drupal-specific events, but things that are related to the things that we do. jQuery Europe is happening in Vienna, Austria. The Scale Conference, which is the Southern California Linux Expo, is happening in Los Angeles, California, in February. And then there's also a Tokyo Open Source Conference that's happening in Tokyo, Japan. So some other interesting things. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a blog post out there hitting the planet, you know, talking about Drupal people getting off the island, expanding beyond our Drupal borders and seeing what other things are going on. So there's some great opportunities to talk to other people working in the open source or web world, where we can, you know, grow, expand, learn some things, bring them back, share your knowledge. So
I'm under the impression that there is just a metric ton of Drupal stuff going on. I hadn't been looking at it closely. I mean, I always knew there was always, you know, events going by on Planet and stuff like that. But, like, that's just staggering.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. This is going to get crazier.
Oh, man.
So, there's lots of peeps. Go out and meet them. Talk to people. Speaking of... We're totally at DrupalCon Sydney, which is the first DrupalCon that's happened in the Southern Hemisphere.
Indeed,
so
yeah.
That's pretty cool. We like went south of the equator and across the international dateline.
Indeed, and to a large island, Australia.
And a really big island.
Yeah.
It's a huge island. So we're just going to give a kind of a quick rundown on where things have been, like what we've been doing while we're here, just to give people kind of a feel for what's you know, happening at DrupalCon. But before we like get into the minutiae of sessions and things like that, I do want to once again thank everybody who made this happen. The local team, the DA. This is a great event. I mean, there's the beach and the weather, of course. I mean, that's
that helps.
Nice.
You know, that does not hurt.
It doesn't hurt. But it's really been a really nicely done event, and it's been really great to have the Australian community, because many of those folks obviously are not going to the North American and European ones. It's a long trip. Trust us, we know how long that trip is now. And so it's really great to have... the Australian community out and really getting to meet and get to know people and stuff like that. So thank you for everybody who made this happen.
Fantastic job.
Yes. So we had two keynotes.
Yes.
We did. We had two keynotes. One, of course, is the...
The Dries note.
The Dries note. And then we also had a senator from the Australian government, Kate Lundy, came in to speak about open government. And that was... really interesting.
Inspiring, even?
It was. And we'll talk about Dries and Drupal stuff, but I was really found it interesting. I mean, there's, on the one hand, I don't really know much about Australian government and what's going on. Like, that's not on my regular radar. And it was good because she sort of gave this breakdown of things that are going on and how they're trying to open government. And of course, she's coming to speak with Drupal. Open source is a part of that. But aside from the Drupal component or the open source part of it even, the things that they're trying to drive forward with open government and the laws that they passed in 2010, Gov 2.0, to make that kind of thing happen, is really, it is inspiring. And it makes me feel hopeful for just general government and people trying to move forward and recognizing those things.
So. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, I wasn't able to make it into the keynote this morning, but I was watching the Twitter streams and various comments that people were making about it, and it seemed like it was really hitting a lot of interesting notes, even for people who were visiting from the States that, you know, that I knew who were here. You know, there was a lot of really interesting meat about, you know, how large organizations, whether they're governments or NGOs or whatever, can engage and start approaching things sort of the way that open source communities do. It was definitely interesting.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that struck me was she was talking about using, using these, like, just using technology sort of generally, and open source, you know, provides sort of an affordable way of getting that done, and a lot of other benefits in terms of sharing. But she was talking about, like, they were, you know, they're creating policy, they're in government, they're creating laws, and they had come up with sort of a policy plan, and in beginning to implement that in a technology way, like creating the forms that people would need in order to move through the process that this policy was creating, through the process of trying to implement the policy, they were able to sort of uncover and discover problems and discrepancies in what that process was, and it came back and informed the policy. They could change the policy, and so it was really interesting.
Agile government.
It was just this interesting, like, the actual process of using technology to, you know, suss out the implementation of, like, these ideas actually fed back, and they, you know, and she talked a lot about feedback loops and that, and that's part of the open source way of approaching things in certain ways too. You put it out there, people are like, ah, this doesn't work. Okay, let's fix this. Let's do that.
Yep.
But that, it struck me as an, like, maybe what you don't typically think of as having a benefit of sort of reaching out and using, using the technologies to open government up. So anyway, I thought it was really cool. And I thought it was great, for those who don't know anything about what's going on in Australian news right now. They've had a huge doping match fixing thing has exploded here in the local sports world, and she is actually that's her bailiwick in the government.
Really?
Overseeing the sporting stuff. So she actually, her world was sort of exploding, and she still came and gave this talk, and she actually apparently had to reschedule some press things that were going on around major stuff going on in the Australian government right now.
Wow.
So anyway, so also huge thanks to Senator Lundy for coming out and, like, you know, sharing with the community and sort of rallying the community to the cause in the midst of a bunch of craziness for her. So
that does indeed sound crazy, which actually makes some of the joking tweets about Dries's performance at last night's cricket match make a lot more sense in context.
Yes, there needs to be a little bit of context around that.
That's what I missed when I went to bed early.
Yeah, see? And then, of course, we had Dries's keynote.
Always, that's always one of the key elements of a DrupalCon. Mm-hmm. I think it's always interesting because, you know, there was a period of time where there were, you know, several DrupalCons in a row where sort of, you know, the same notes were being hit. The running joke was that, you know, there was always a slide in Dries's keynote about, we probably need a WYSIWYG editor for, like, you know, three years, you know, six DrupalCons in a row. One of the interesting things at this keynote was, we will have a WYSIWYG editor in Drupal 8. So that was, you know, it was definitely a dream come true for some people who've been sort of waving that banner for many and many a year. And it was definitely interesting because one of the things that Dries was talking about a lot in his keynote was the opportunity for Drupal and Drupal developers and site builders and just people who are working with open source technologies to have an impact for good on the world around them by helping businesses improve what they do or governments become more responsive to, you know, the people in the countries they, you know, they're governing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, covered a lot of good stuff about Drupal 8 and the cool stuff, and and his vision for the future, like where it's all going, man. And he gave everybody kind of an overview and schooling, I guess, on web experience management.
There were many Venn diagrams.
WEM.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was interesting. It's not something I had seen, I don't know, bandied about yet. So it was interesting to... It was interesting to see, oh, there's this sort of new term and this new thing and this broader vision than just a website that has content on it, and there are other components to it. I think it was interesting, too, because he acknowledged in his keynote as well, like, you know, talking about, like, sort of bigger organizations and bigger businesses, and a lot of people get a little like, you know, oh, why is it always about the big businesses and the big organizations that need these things? And so it's interesting that's just something I think that's part of the Drupal world that's here to stay. Ooh, there's a helicopter going over.
Plane. Yeah. We're on the ocean. There's always planes flying by, the airport's near here, sometimes birds. Birds. Other conference goers.
Let me tell you, though, the birds here, like, they make weird noises. The birds in Australia?
Everything has funky colors, and I'm also told there are deadly spiders. Fortunately,
There are deadly everythings here. You know, platypus? The platypus. I know you say platypodes, you know, but a platypus is poisonous.
Yes, yes. I actually mistakenly said... at dinner last night, I was, you know, talking to a couple of people and said, you know, I hear that, you know, pretty much anything that moves here can kill you. And they said, oh, no. The things that don't move can kill you, too.
Yeah. All right. Sorry about the diversion there. We're still a little fascinated by being in Australia.
It's true. We only get out this far to the other side of the planet every once in a while. So it's exciting.
It is.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think it was definitely interesting, the web experience management stuff that Dries was talking about, because, I mean, to some extent, I think it's a real testament to the fact that Drupal has matured to the point where it's being considered as a viable contender going up against much larger systems that are used by very, very large corporations and businesses, not just to publish a web page, but to run their whole online presence and their marketing process. And, you know, when the web page is an increasingly important part of how you get a first contact with a customer and turn that into an ongoing contact, and the whole web experience management, like, sphere is really driven, is really shaped around that. It's a component of, like, say, you know, a company like Dell, their homepage, you know, that's an important part of what they do, or, you know, an organization that sells to other businesses and their website is their first point of contact for, you know, new potential clients. You know, web experience management is part of that, and viewing it not just as do people like what they're reading, but do they like what they're reading and then contact us, or is that something that, you know, is the content that we're publishing effective in terms of actually getting people to talk to us within the next week or so after they read it? A lot of the tools around trying to measure those kinds of things are sort of what comes into the web experience management sphere, and it is interesting because, you know, it's not like there are, you know, just tons and tons and tons of websites that need to do those things, but the larger a site gets and the more integrated into a, you know, a large company's business that a website gets, the more important some of those features are. And I think, you know, even if a large percentage of the community isn't necessarily stoked about that feature, it's definitely, I think, a signal that Drupal is moving into areas that it previously wouldn't have been considered for, and it's maturing in that direction. So
yeah. And if you're talking about, I mean, you know, bigger and bigger businesses being interested in and working with Drupal, I mean, almost a lot, you know, most of the work that is happening is paid for in some manner in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And so having more cash infused into the community to get things done, you know, not all of it's necessarily the feature that every, you know, person who's working on sites needs, but that it's translating into something that's coming down to tools that you need and want.
And that's a pattern. So. And that's a pattern that's true across a lot of different large open source projects, you know, like the Linux project and stuff like that. You know, there are absolutely hobbyists and, you know, small development teams that are working on parts of it. But a very large percentage of, you know, the actual developer time is organizations that are using Linux or other, you know, open source tools and need it to do certain things and thus invest time and resources and stuff like that. So
yeah, and resources are important.
It's true.
not all just made out of free time and money.
Well, and as Drupal has become more mature and more complex, you know, the time and energy needed to do major re-architecting of, you know, a component of Drupal has increased. You know, not just because Drupal is more complicated, but also because there are many, many more sites running Drupal and relying on it. So announcing, yeah, we broke X. You know, we've done something new. If you were using that tool before, you know, go build something different now using the new tool. You know, those kinds of things are less and less easy to do now that there's a much larger community, you know, using Drupal. So in some ways, the stakes are higher and it takes more care and attention to, you know, what the impact is as big changes are being made. So, yeah.
Indeed. So, keynotes, but, you know, obviously, sessions.
I've been going to a lot of sessions this time.
I think this is the most sessions I've gone to at a DrupalCon in years, I would say.
This is like sort of the DrupalCon cliche. Well, any technology conference, you know, there's people who go and they're like, okay, I'm going to just pack in all the sessions. But, you know, then there's always the contingent of people who are like, I caught a session or two, but it was mostly, you know, catching up with people and networking and, you know, what people refer to as the hallway track at a session. But boy, this time around, I swear, you know, I packed Thursday. You know, I saw, you know, a session in every slot. And, you know, today even I've been catching stuff. You know, the day isn't even over yet, you know, as we record. But, you know, there's been a lot of really interesting stuff. You know, well, what have you been seeing?
Well, you know, actually my favorite session that I went to yesterday was one that was about Symfony. It was Symfony Components, a Travel Guide. And I went to that because I know we have the Symfony stuff and it's been talked about quite a lot, and that's but I don't actually really have my head around what the Symfony thing is about, right? Like, I, you know, we talk about it, Banny, it's a term you use, HTTP, blah, 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 Symfony. And then ta-ta. So I really wanted to just sort of get, you know, get some sense of what was going on. And it was actually a great session. It was done by a guy who's not a Drupal guy. It's Pierce Warmers, but he's a PHP guy, and he gave a nice overview of sort of like what's been going on with PHP, why Symfony exists, how Symfony has been created as like these decoupled components, and you know the benefits of that, like why they did that, and talked about why Drupal was sort of drawn to Symfony and the fact that there are many, many components. They are decoupled. Each component, like HTTP, routing, they have a form component.
Everyone has a form component.
You can't live on the web without a form component. But, you know, the Drupal project didn't bring all of them in. Like, we didn't just take Symfony wholesale. Because they were all, like, decoupled, sort of self-standing things, we could pick the things that we really needed help with that we don't want to have to keep rewriting and figuring out over and over again. And we brought over those individual pieces that we wanted. And sort of having an overview of how that works, what that is, and then breaking down what were the ones that were brought into Drupal, what do they do, and some examples about how that will change, you know, how we work with things, a little bit about PSR0 and sort of namespacing and
crazy stuff.
But it was, for me, it was like actually perfect because it was just a good overview to put it all into context, because I'm not a hardcore PHP person. I'm not like, you know, object oriented is like this thing that I need to learn just as much, you know. It's like I don't have some purist programming ideas.
You don't already have really strong opinions on exactly how we should use factory classes.
Exactly. So for me, it was great because it was a really good overview that sort of put things into context, and I really appreciated that session. So I'd have to say right now that was my favorite session that I have attended so far. What about you?
Yeah, I'm looking through the guide real quick, looking for the exact name of the session. But I believe the title of it was, Content Strategists and Developers, We Need Each Other.
Oh, yeah.
And Content Strategy and the QUT Web Redevelopment Project. It's a long name, but that second one was actually really, really interesting. It was basically an account of a really, really huge university web migration project. A university that had literally over 1,000 websites.
What?
Like, just internal, self-standing little sites that had been built 1, and were 000. Scattered. Yes, not pages.
Wow.
Sites. And it was like one of those $1 million, you know, everyone just had to, you know, it was all hands on deck for a year plus, and, you know, big team of, you know, developers and content strategists and editors and coordinating with all the faculty because, you know, they needed actual subject matter experts working on these pages and making sure they were accurate. And it was just this, it was epic. And it was really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it was a really good sort of, well, I won't say postmortem. That always sounds so grim. It was a review of a really large-scale project and a lot of the hard-won lessons in there, you know, things to do, things not to do, what they discovered, things like when trying to get a bunch of people, you know, on the same page and editing content and approving content before it went live, they discovered that the quality of the feedback they received was just much higher when it was on the page in a website that looked like a website versus when they were just sending emails around. So they discovered, you know, even getting real rough content up on the website itself and providing some sort of feedback mechanism for the internal people to say, you need to edit this page, was a lot more effective for them than just sending around emails or trying to ask people to go read a Google Doc. Just lots of meat and potatoes stuff like that that they found. Advice on how to do, you know, testing with users to determine what approaches to, like, organizing stuff worked well. The other interesting thing was it wasn't a Drupal project.
Nice.
It was an Australian university, so it was local. There were a ton of different lessons that I think were incredibly relevant and valuable to Drupal developers because, you know, those are all things that
but getting that perspective from
exactly
not in the Drupal way.
Yeah, and so I feel like, and it wasn't a Drupal project was sort of the, you know, sixth sense twist ending for the description on that, but I think it was really interesting and it had a lot of valuable stuff. And again, it was one of those things that, you know, to me felt sort of like a signal that, you know, our community is getting a lot better and more proactive about learning lessons from outside of our own circle, you know, where it's valuable. And the other one that I mentioned, Content Strategists and Developers, We Need Each Other, was by Angus Gordon and Ricky Bauchau, a developer and a content strategist who both work at a shop here in the area. And they just had a lot of interesting perspectives on how their team has done things over the past several years without really getting directly involved in content strategy, you know, consciously, realizing that that's what they'd been doing for quite some time because they had a small team where the devs and the, you know, content people always worked very closely together and collaborated. So, yeah, it was a lot of stuff. And both of those actually were part of the content authoring track.
Yeah.
Which is new this year at DrupalCon Sydney, and it's been really, really cool. I mean, I'm like, you know, waving the content strategy and, you know, content modeling, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's my favorite topic over the last couple of years, and so, but it's really exciting to see that really becoming a part
an
of
an entire DrupalCon. Track.
Yeah,
which you also spoke in as well.
I did. I actually delivered a presentation that had no pictures of amusing animals or anything like that in it. It was a new day. It did have a cat, but it was a very stylized, geometric shaped cat.
But of course it had a cat.
You kind of have to. And a bunny.
Yeah.
But,
and a bunny, that's right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was building for a post-mobile world. It was basically about multi-channel publishing and you know, some of the challenges that come with that and you know, what things are coming down the line and how people can, you know, be more prepared for that in
both, you know, Drupal today and with, you know, Drupal 8 around the corner. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, no, it's been, I think that was really awesome that they included that track, and it seemed, there are a lot of good sessions going on with that. We also did a workshop.
It has been a packed week.
One. I know. I just realized, like, yeah, we also did this workshop. And so the workshop we did was Real World Drupal. It was actually Jeff Eaton's idea. And
well, it was my idea in the sense that I looked over all of the things that we do as a company, as his team, and said, well, how about we just talk about all of those things?
But it was, you know, the thing is, like, I felt, you know, we can talk about, oh, yeah, we did this really great training. It was totally awesome. Whee! But for me, like, as a, you know, teaching it, but I found it a really interesting workshop because I finally felt like I had this venue to share all of this really, like, interesting back corner information.
The real world. Experience.
Yeah, like, you know, just like, this is sort of how it's worked, you know, for us. And it was interesting because, you know, we work with, you know, really large clients, we work with small clients, we work with our internal team for Drupalize Me to make that site happen. So we have a variety of experience. And it was just, I don't know, I actually felt really good. And like, I felt like we had good conversations. There were a lot of good questions from the audience. The students also shared like their experiences trying to get sites out the door, or how do you really estimate these things? And, you know, versus are you a freelancer? Or are you on a, you know, a larger team and things like that?
How do you handle testing and verifying the site is actually done and works properly if you're, you know, a one-man band, you know, building websites? You know, how do you account for that?
Yeah, and I even had some good conversations after, because the workshop was on, well, Australian Wednesday, and but I, you know, I've been running into people who were in the class and continuing to have some other interesting conversations and questions that were raised from that. So I actually, like, just you know, teaching or attending, like, I personally just found it like actually very interesting and fun workshop to do. So we're gonna propose it for Portland. So we don't know if it'll be selected at Portland. But I thought it was so much fun and really started some really good conversations. So that was also kind of a highlight for me
for
the week, honestly.
Me too. Yeah,
and I don't want to
overplay this aspect of it, but like, it did feel like a little, you know, going out on a limb at first, because it, you know, it was a type of training that we've never really explicitly done before. It was, you know, there was no tutorial, there were no, you know,
there's no pointy clicky or write this line of code and that kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was all just like conversations and, you know, shared lessons around different aspects of like planning and scoping and, you know, the development workflow, you know, over the lifespan of a project, how to make sure that, you know, once it's launched, the site stays up and, you know, continues to be sustainable. It was a lot of fun, and we were sort of curious whether or not it would, you know, whether or not it would be as well received as some of the more traditional stuff, and it really was. So,
yeah. Hooray! Yeah, I'm excited. I hope we get to do it again, because that was definitely a lot of fun. And then in terms of other sort of events, so for DrupalCon, there was the workshop day, which was also business day. They had a business day, but honestly, we were in a workshop, so I don't know much about what happened.
I assume there was businessy stuff that occurred.
There were discussions that happened there,
yes,
and they had to do with business. and then we have yesterday was the first day of sessions. Today is the second day of sessions, and the conference is going to wrap up this evening. Tomorrow is the traditional sprint day, and I am going to be doing our community tools workshop tomorrow morning. My session today was on the Drupal ladder, and I'm hoping to see some folks show up tomorrow to learn that it's not a crazy, scary world to contribute to core.
There are easy steps. There's a ladder, one might say.
Yes, a ladder. And, you know, but also, like, one of the things we talked about, I had a good group for my session, like, having conversations sort of afterwards as a group. But, you know, one of the things that I think, there are two things. One is that you don't have to be a coder, and we say that a lot, but there are actually, like, really, like, seriously identifiable tasks of, I don't even want to install a local development environment. I just want to help things. And that those exist, and people, and there's this whole sort of setup to help walk you through that, to mentor you through the process. Not just these exist, go off in the corner and figure it out, but there are people who will help you, and there's a whole system that's set up to like teach you and walk you through the steps. It's pretty, anyway, I get excited about it, but then again, I'm like a community nerd, so what can I say?
It's okay. It takes all kinds. There have been people who get really, really excited about figuring out what things should be different content types and what things should be field collections this week. So, you know, if that's exciting, then you can absolutely be excited about people getting involved in the community. There's no nerd judgment here.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other things on your radar?
I don't know. I mean, it really has felt like, you know, kind of a whirlwind. You know, in part because I'm not used to this much jet lag. It's a little disorienting. I'll be honest, but yeah, no. There have been so many really good conference sessions. A lot of really interesting people that we've met, I think it's really cool. You know, you can really tell that the community and, you know, the local team here have been doing this event for several years, and that's one of the interesting things. You know, it's officially DrupalCon now, but it's not just something that, you know, somebody said we need to do that there. I think it was Drupal Down Under for a couple of years in a row that had been doing really well, and it was decided that, you know what, it's time to make this official. So yeah. it was cool.
Make it big and more international, I guess. You know, indeed. I mean, the theme is growing Drupal Down Under, but you know, there's people from all over the planet here, so they've done an amazing job. And I am happy to have been here, and we still have some sessions to attend this afternoon. So we're going to wrap this up so we can get back to having fun. Sorry if you're not here, but we're going to go have fun now. And you can listen to the podcast, maybe, you know, like on your radio, like do a little bit of like ocean surf sound in the background.
Put on one of the CDs of like calming surf noises.
Exactly. Like pretend you're at the beach listening to us just prattle on in a random room at the venue.
I will say though, if you're interested in catching any of the stuff that's been going on, if you go to sydney2013.drupal.org, the video and the information on each one of the sessions, they've been going up really fast, like in some cases hours after the session's finished. So if you want to see all the stuff when it's really fresh, you can go there right now.
Yeah. And we'll put a bunch of, we will definitely put links in the podcast notes to the specific sessions that we happen to talk about. But all of the sessions are being recorded, and so you can catch up on a lot of this stuff and watch it for yourself. And you know, just, yeah, pretend like you're by the beach. That's all.
It's good. You know, have a nice beverage, have surf playing, and watch some Drupal sessions.
Exactly.
Good times.
Just like you're here. Well, thanks, Eaton, for hopping on.
Thanks for having me here.
And, yeah, we're going to go have fun. So, till next time in Drupal land. And hopefully we'll see a bunch of folks at DrupalCon Portland, which is coming up in May. So start planning now, people, because you don't want to miss it. So have a good one. Talk to you all next time. Bye.
Adios.